Let's go.
Welcome. Oh, let's go, gamers.
Sorry, I didn't know you would start so quickly. Usually there's a buffer time.
That's all staying in. Let's fucking go back to another episode of Ramsey's Recaps. Hello, everyone.
Let's go, brother.
Yeah, brother. I'm your host, Courtney slash Hulk Hogan, I guess.
And I'm your other host, Alana slash other Hulk Hogan, I guess.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, brother.
Two Hulk Hogans walking to a bar.
They both go, yeah, brother.
What do you do? You see two Hulk Hogans come into your bar. What you doing?
Leaving. Honestly, leaving. He scares me as, like, a human being. I feel like he's, like, walking cocaine.
I wouldn't be able to tell you what his, like, I can't put a face to the name.
Really?
If you said draw Hulk Hogan, I would draw just, like, a circle.
His face is honestly, like, the most iconic part about him, because he's got the mustache.
Do I strike you as anybody, as someone who would ever know anything about wrestling at all? Is he a wrestler? Is that him?
He is a wrestler. He was. He's not anymore. He also famously had, like, a sex tape that, like, went public.
Oh.
Yeah.
Who was the lucky lady?
I don't remember, honestly. But no, his face is, like, the iconic part about him, because he's got, like, the handlebar mustache, and he always wears sunglasses and, like, a greasy bandana over his greasy blonde hair.
Is he, like, really, really tan and his mustache is, like, blonde?
Yeah.
Does he wear, like, a Viking helmet, or am I making that
part up? I don't know. He might. I don't know. I don't know enough about wrestling.
This would all be solved if I just Googled a picture of Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, no. Don't do it.
Oh, it is that guy.
Yeah.
I don't know where I got the Viking helmet from. I could have sworn he wore that at some point.
But... he might have. I don't know. He's been around for a while. It's possible.
That mustache looks fake as hell.
Like it was just glued on.
Yeah, that looks like one that I purchased off of Amazon.
Well, tell that to his face.
I did type in Hulk Hogan Viking hat, and it is not really procuring anything.
So you are crazy.
Am I thinking of, like, maybe it's like a Fairly Odd Parents character I'm thinking of? It's Viking.
This is what this podcast has become, is Alana Googles.
No, I have no earthly idea where I got that from.
Man in Viking helmet with handlebar mustache.
I'm not typing that in right now.
Let me know what you procure from it.
Helmet, handlebar, mustache.
Can you Google Gordon Ramsay handlebar mustache?
Oh, this is a... Oh, none of these are what I wanted.
What a surprise.
None of these are what I was thinking of.
Who could have seen that coming?
Oh, that's too bad. It has taken me to pictures of the football team, the Vikings.
Oh.
A guy that has a handlebar mustache.
Yeah, that's not the same thing at all, is it? Well, I don't have a transition. Should we just talk about Zeke's?
Yeah, let's do that. Also, who are we and what are we doing?
We already said that, and then you went on a huge tangent.
We said we were both Hulk Hogan. Do we know what podcast this is? Did we say that?
I said welcome back. Are you do you ever listen to me when I speak?
Genuinely, bottom of my heart, never once.
It's showing.
I've never listened to anything in my life.
And that's why you're not an actor anymore.
That's, look. I don't know about that.
Acting is listening.
No, the reason why I'm not an actor anymore is because I'm not good at it, Courtney. Not because I don't listen.
You do only do sketches by yourself, which is kind of funny when you think about it, like, in a meta sense.
I am my best coworker.
You're just talking to yourself as a job.
I never let me down.
That's a lie.
Except for routinely.
Except for all those times when I did.
Except for all of those times it crumbled from underneath me.
Well, speaking of crumbling, this restaurant's crumbling underneath Daryl.
That's accurate. That's a good transition because it's unbelievably accurate.
This week, Gordon is in the season 3 finale of Kitchen Nightmares from 2011. Gordon is visiting the restaurant Zeke's in Metairie, New Orleans. It's like a suburb of New Orleans. Zeke's was originally owned by a local icon named James Flynn, a.k.a. Zeke, and he opened the restaurant in 2002, but then he unfortunately died during Hurricane Katrina, and the restaurant was kind of in limbo until Daryl and Ellen Cortello bought it. And imagine, like, a white couple buying a restaurant and then ruining it, like, in a Pixar movie type way.
Yeah, that's it is in a Pixar type way, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, because
that just is what it is.
They both kind of look like Pixar movie villains.
So it took me till the end of the episode to get there. Not in physique or anything, but the guy, Daryl, was giving me, like, American Psycho energy. He was giving me full, like, sociopath, I've memorized what people say when they run restaurants kind of dialogue.
He was trying to, like, Apple-fy this restaurant in a way, like, make it work like a tech company almost. Like, everything's efficient, everything's pre-portioned, everything's frozen and taken out to order. And it was like, that's not how restaurants work, though, my guy. Like, that's...
Yeah, it was like he had read a handbook, but he didn't know what any of it meant. He just knew to do it, but he couldn't explain why, because it was incorrect. Like, there was no sense of, like, I'm doing it, like, restaurants do this because of this consequence. He was just doing it because it sounded like that's what somebody, it's like he heard it on a podcast, you know? He had no understanding.
Yeah, but they also say in the beginning that they've, like, run restaurants before in the past. So they have, but I'm wondering if maybe they ran, like, franchises, like if they ran, like, an Applebee's, you know?
Yeah, I would believe that, where they're not actually in charge.
Yeah.
There's, like, a higher thing that they're answering to.
Like, they own the building, and they own, like, that branch of the Applebee's, but they don't actually, like, own the Applebee's, you know?
Yeah.
I wonder if that's the restaurant experience they had.
Because if they have owned other restaurants, they probably closed, and that's why they had to buy this one.
Yeah, because they bought this in an estate sale. Like, basically, the previous owner's estate was just selling all of his stuff, probably, and the restaurant deed was in there, and they just bought it probably for, like, very cheap, honestly. Like,
yeah.
Like, 2006, New Orleans was not a great place to be, probably, anyways.
No!
So, like, they probably got it cheap.
And when you die, like, in a natural disaster, I bet the family was just like, we don't want to look at it anymore.
Yeah.
Someone remove these painful memories.
But then Daryl and Ellen kept the name Zeke's because it was, like, a well-known restaurant in the community and people loved it there. But I feel like, what the chefs say in the beginning, like, the reason people loved it was, like, not only because it was a good place to eat, but because Zeke was such a fun character to be around. And it seems like he ran the restaurant, like, from a very, like, loving and, like, community kind of place. And then Daryl and Ellen come in and they only care about money and everyone stops liking the place because they change the quality of the food, change the recipes, and then raise the prices, which is always a good idea, honestly.
And guys, this food, it's not good.
No.
It's not good.
No.
It's really bad.
The first red flag should be the fact that they have frozen shrimp when they literally are in New Orleans, where there's shrimp just fucking everywhere.
Like, there's shrimp just, like, outside, like just there.
Yeah, like,
you walk 5 feet and there's shrimp.
You could dip a bucket in a body of water and probably pull out a few shrimp. Like, so he also cut the pay of the staff, and a lot of the staff seemed to work there or knew of the place, at least, of before Daryl and Ellen bought it. I think both the chefs were there when Zeke owned it. Zeke's regulars started to hate the changes and stopped coming to the restaurant. The chef, they all say that they're only still there because they love the place, which is valid, but I also think that it's kind of weird to be attached to a restaurant that big. I don't know. That's just my opinion.
I mean, we'll get there when it's more relevant in the episode, but, like, I've been there.
Yeah.
I've been there. I've been in the restaurant that you love so much with people that you love, and the people are why you're still there, even though everything else went to shit. It's hard to justify when you're not in it. When you're looking in on it, you're like, no, fucking go. It makes no sense. But when you're in it and it really feels like you're, like, in the trenches with these people, it's hard to go. We'll get there, though.
Yeah. So then Gordon comes in. He starts the episode by getting on a boat with a bunch of locals. And the guy who drives the boat is just this old white man who has the most stereotypical Louisiana accent they could have found. Like, he fully talk like he needs subtitles. You know, like...
Fantastic casting on casting's part.
And Gordon just asks a bunch of these, like, random people, like, oh, like, do you know of Zeke's? Do you like it? What's the vibe? And they're all like, yeah, we used to like it, and now we don't go there so much anymore. And Gordon's like, sick.
Thanks for this totally... I'm sorry, the background, like, the extras, the work of the, like, background players in this episode was fantastic. Every background actor, you couldn't pay me enough money to believe that these people were naturally just, like, occurring people.
Yeah, there were a lot of audience participation in this episode.
And it was some of the worst acting I've ever seen in my life.
So... Because it's Gordon's first time in New Orleans, people are, like, excited that he's there, I guess. I don't know. So Gordon arrives to the lunch service and is greeted by Ellen, who just... You know what she reminds me of? And maybe this is mean, and I'm sorry. But you know in The Rescuers, the, like, evil lady in
that? I mean, it's not nice.
But, like, not, like, the, like, she has, like, the weird blue eyeshadow, and she's just very stiff and, like, very, like, automatic in her responses to everything. I don't know. She has a weird vibe to her. She feels like a Stepford wife in a way, I guess.
I know what you mean. I think, because you're talking about Madame Mim, right? You're talking about... like the lady with the purple skin in The Rescuers, right? Or The Borrowers or whatever it is. Rescuers. With the mice. Yeah. We're talking about the same movie, right?
Yeah. Does she have purple skin?
I think so.
I don't think she does.
Red hair, right? She had like red hair and purple skin.
No, no, not her. No. What am I? Maybe it's not I'm pretty sure it's the rest. Am I crazy?
Are you sure you're not thinking of Madame Mim?
I'm not.
Because Madame Mim had a... She had a little more light in the eyes than, I forget her name already. What's her name?
No, I'm thinking of, Madame Medusa. That's her name.
Who's that?
She's the redheaded lady in The Rescuers.
Oh, in the same movie. I've never seen The Rescuers. I only know about her.
I'm sending you a picture right now. Or you can Google her. Yeah, just Google her. Madame Medusa.
Oh, yeah. No, she does look like that lady.
Yeah.
You're right.
Because I just think of the scene where she's, like, peeling her eyelashes off, and it's, like, gross.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right.
Thank you.
Madame Mim, I think I have the wrong movie.
No, Madame Mim is, I think, The Rescuers Down Under. It's a different one.
It's Sword in the Stone.
Sword in
That's
the Stone.
I am thinking of not even a little bit who you were talking about. Which is, but now that you see Madame Mim, you can see
why I thought
that was so mean that you said that.
No, I understand where you're coming from now. No, I'm thinking of Madame Medusa. Weird that
and
they're both
that's
named
correct.
Madame.
Yeah, Madame Medusa, she does look like that, and you're right.
Thank you.
She definitely, that's her essence.
Yeah. She's just like very like that, you know, like kind of scary in the eyes. Like, somebody get her some, like, brown contacts, like, please.
Yes, that's accurate.
Fun tangent. I've only seen The Sword in the Stone in Spanish because we watched it in Spanish class in high school. I've never seen it in
that's
English.
That's very funny. I can't imagine I was any older than, like, 8 the last time I watched it. And it scared the shit out of me.
The Rescuers scared me as a kid. So. you know.
I did watch the... I don't even know if I've seen regular Rescuers, only Rescuers Down Under.
Rescuers Down Under was, like, the more fun one. The Rescuers itself is, like, the 70s, like, dark Disney, like, kind of, like, yeah. Sword in the Stone, Black Cauldron era, of like, that weird, like, kind of weird animation. It's a weird one.
Yeah, never been exactly my brand.
Yeah, me neither. I don't know why I watched it. It was just one of the VHSs we had.
And, like, things that are not surprising.
Yeah, you were watching, like, Mulan.
I was watching Disney Renaissance, for sure. I was watching Beauty and the Beast, Little Mermaid, all the heavy hitters. Aladdin, of course, My Sexual Awakening.
Yeah, for some reason, like, we had all those ones, too, but we also had, like, Lady and the Tramp and, like, The Rescuers.
Yeah, Lady and the Tramp was in our rotation as well.
I don't know. Old Disney stuff is creepy. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, fucking Pinocchio. Like, fuck
terrifying,
that shit.
Terrifying. Hated that movie as a kid. I still don't even like the ride at Disney.
No, I won't. I went on it recently just because every so often, if there's a ride I don't remember, I'm like, I should go on just to refresh my memory. And then I'm like, I'm good for the next 20 years. Yeah, I'm good now.
That's me with most of the Storybook Land rides, where I'm like, I don't actually need to know any more of this. Thank you.
Yeah, like, I want to go on it once just to remind myself that there was a reason why I always skip it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, now I'm good. Now I'm solid. My mom and I were talking about Pinocchio recently, and she was like, I currently, right now, in this current state, think Pinocchio is fucked to all hell, was my Catholic mother's, like, way of saying it. she was like, it's fucked to all hell.
It is.
The Pleasure Island, that whole sequence. She was like, it's about child trafficking, and I didn't want my children ever watching that.
Yeah, then he gets turned into a donkey. It's terrifying.
The child, poor Pinocchio, leaves his house for the first time in his life and is immediately trafficked.
Yeah. Oh.
He's a never known peace, this child, and he's not even a real fucking boy.
No. But then he is. It has a happy ending.
Yeah, at what cost, though?
I don't... Well, it's all those... It's all those grim fairy tales. Like, none of them have happy endings. Like, they all end bad.
Yeah, you know, not for me. I'm good.
I kind of like them.
See, that's your brand, though.
It is my brand. If you ever watch the movie The Brothers Grimm, starring Matt Damon and Heath Ledger, it's a weird trash movie, but it's so good. It's in the, like, same vein as, like, Van Helsing for me.
Oh, man.
I love Van Helsing. Anyways, Gordon shows up for lunch.
Anyway, Gordon's here for lunch.
We have to get back on track.
Anyway, here's Wonderwall.
Anyways, here's Gordon Ramsay. He sits down and asks, like, who owns the restaurant and all that. And Ellen's like, me and my husband, Daryl. He's in the kitchen expediting. He runs the kitchen. I run to the front of the house. And Gordon's like, cool.
Expediting, for me, is in the biggest air quotes you could ever do.
Yeah, he kind of just stands there.
The man should never be allowed in a kitchen. Not ever.
He doesn't really do anything.
Other than actively cause chaos.
Yeah, and Gordon, like, so then we meet the waitress, who's very sweet. Love her. She... tells Gordon, like, oh, the owners changed some of the recipes, and they have the oysters Cortello on the menu, which is Daryl's recipe. And Gordon's like, what the fuck is an oysters Cortello? I can't even say it. And then he also orders the boiled shrimp and the chicken fried steak and then a traditional bread pudding. The boiled shrimp come out first, and Gordon touches it and tries to peel it and is like, it's not peeling. That means these were frozen. Why are you getting frozen shrimp in Louisiana? And that they taste nasty anyways. And
yeah.
The waitress, Candace, tells him that the shrimp is fresh frozen, which is just so funny when people try to use that on Gordon Ramsay.
It's just the biggest crock of horse shit I've ever heard in my life.
It means nothing. Like...
Yeah, it's a fake thing.
So Candace takes the shrimp away, and then Gordon's, like, looking around the restaurant, and he calls Ellen over, and he's like, why is your restaurant a swamp? Like, why are we in a swamp? And Ellen's like, because we thought it'd be cute. And Gordon's like, why do we want to eat in a swamp?
It's literally the ugliest.
It's so ugly.
Wallpaper I've ever seen. It's disgusting. It's terrible.
It's like if a motel 10 minutes away from Disneyland was trying to be like a themed motel, you know?
Yeah, it's not good. It's really, really, really bad.
Yeah, it's bad. Then he gets the chicken fried steak, which he calls a fried chicken steak, which I thought was funny. I don't know why it's always funny to me. And he, like, cuts into it, and he pulls out the steak from the breading. Like, the breading just falls off of it. And he's like, it looks like a giraffe's tongue. And it does. It does look like a giraffe's tongue.
So bad. It looks so bad.
It's just a gray piece of, like, flat skirt steak that's so gross looking.
It was, like, textured around the edges. I guess that was just because of the breading. But, like, I felt like it shouldn't have made that, like, pattern on it. Oh, my God. It was awful.
Yeah. And then he gets the oysters, which he just says are bad, because why would they be good?
I mean, did we get any detail? What is the name of the dish? Keep saying it. Oysters Cordello?
It's Cortello. Their last name is Cortello. It's just named after them.
Do we know what the dish was other than just, like, fried oysters?
It looked like fried oysters on top of, like, a slice of baguette, but with no sauce. So it's just dried oysters on
I typed in bread. Oysters Cortello, and the first thing it brought me up was the Kitchen Nightmares Reddit, where it literally says, anyone else wonder what's in the oysters Cortello? Everybody clearly hates them, but all we see is a fried oyster on a thin piece of bread. Their reaction makes me think there is something heinous in there. And it looks like it's just people saying that they're just, like, too fried. It's just frying oysters, which people don't really fry oysters.
Yeah. They're too small, usually, aren't they?
I would think so.
Also, you're supposed to eat them raw, usually.
Yeah, that's, like, the whole deal with them.
Ugh. I would never. I can't, anyways, but I will also never.
Yeah, it says deep-fried, heavily breaded. Yeah, I can't imagine their integrity.
Well, at the end of the day, then you just put a ball of bread on a piece of bread, though. Like,
yeah, it matters if it's, like, a crouton, or if it's just, like, yeah, a fucking piece of baguette.
Yeah, like, it's a piece of baguette with a fried oyster on top. That's just bread on bread. That's like eating a chicken sandwich, but, like, bad.
Too bad, because there's nothing better than, like, a good oysters Rockefeller. It's nothing better than good raw oysters. You probably can't have them because you'll die, right?
I've never had raw oysters, but I also don't really fuck with shellfish because I'm allergic to crab. So I haven't really tested my limits on shellfish, really.
Yeah, that's fair.
Clam chowder is about as far as I go, but I don't eat it very often.
Oh, well, that is it. But no, clams and oysters are not the same. But it probably would be fine.
Yeah.
I understand your reservations.
Trust me, I've always wanted to try, like, a lobster roll. They always look really good, but I just...
Lobster rolls are great.
I just think I would die if I tried one.
have a Benadryl on hand.
Well, to be fair, when I eat crab, at least the one time I did, I didn't, like, go anaphylactic. I had, like, just terrible hives. So, I was just itchy.
Yeah, I mean, hives aren't fun.
They're not fun,
but
it's not...
I'm not, like, in the business.
But it's not dying.
I'm not, like, in the business of, like, testing people's fake allergies.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna, like, make you test it just in case. Maybe it's fine, because what if it's not? I get it.
Yeah. So then he gets the bread pudding, and he does love it, and Chef Emil is the one who made it, and he's very pleased. And then
it was so sweet. The two little chefs were so sweet.
Yeah, Emil and, what's the other one's name? They look the same.
I don't know. I didn't process a single name other than Daryl and Gordon Ramsay. At least I got one.
Well, what all do you need anyway? So then,
at least I got Gordon.
Gordon goes into the kitchen to meet Daryl. He gives them feedback, and Emil reveals that he doesn't like to cook the food that he's currently cooking, but he doesn't really have any choice because Daryl makes him do it that way. He's tried to talk to Daryl. Daryl won't listen. Daryl's defensive in saying that they have no time to shop for fresh food at the fish market, but, like, that's stupid. Like, why wouldn't you have time to go to the grocery store?
Yeah,
It's down the street.
Nothing but fucking excuses from these guys for, like, and they are, like, they talk about them like it's set in stone. Like, obviously we could never have time to do that when, like, when you own a restaurant. Well, that's actually what you make the time for.
But then he turns to Gordon and is like, well, you don't know New Orleans food anyways. So, like, why do you, how would you know? And Gordon's like, shut up. You're stupid.
I agree.
Because Daryl's like, well, nobody's returning their food. Everyone else was eating lunch out there just fine and no dishes returned. And Gordon's like, that doesn't mean the food's good. 70% of people will not tell you that the food is good or not good. They won't send it back. They'll just never come back to the restaurant again. Like,
yeah, also there was probably only like 4 people out there anyway.
Yeah.
Because no one eats here anymore.
And they're only there to see Gordon Ramsay, probably.
Yeah.
So then, just before dinner service, Gordon meets with the kitchen staff, except for Daryl. They tell him Daryl was warned once that if he started buying lower quality food, that it would be affected. And then Gordon talks to Emil and the other cook, and they tell him that the owners only care about money, and they cut corners to cut costs. And this is when it really starts to come out that the whole staff feels this way. Like, it's not just the cooks. Everyone in the staff feels like Ellen and Daryl only care about money and they don't care about the restaurant or the people in the restaurant. Which, like, I get it. You have to, like, make money to make the restaurant work. But if you want your restaurant to work, you also have to be, like, kind of nice to your people and, like,
yeah,
make a good working environment.
Yeah, you need to have people that work there. Otherwise, you spend your entire time, like, training new people because there's such a high turnover.
Yeah.
So you're totally, like, taking advantage of the fact that you don't have high turnover. And these are people that would learn the new ways very quickly.
Yeah.
In fact, they probably learned your new way from when they used to work there when original Zeke worked it. So.
Yeah.
Have a little faith in your people.
Well, and then Gordon observes dinner service, and the first thing he notices is that all the portions of boiled shrimp are bagged individually. We're getting wisps and memories of the Jamaican restaurant from a couple episodes ago. So he asks why they're in portions like that, and Daryl says that it's to save time and save money. And to make sure that nobody's getting too many shrimp in their shrimp boil. Because God forbid somebody gets one too many shrimp. Whatever, Daryl.
So, my only point of defense in this is that, like, I've worked in restaurants where they do this before. But I imagine the difference is that, like, they prep it the day of and not,
yeah,
like, a week ago.
Yeah.
And they do it not to, like... It's usually not to, like, preserve costs to make sure people aren't getting one extra shrimp. It's usually the other way around. It's usually because seafood dishes are expensive and they want to make sure that the customer is getting, you know, bang for their buck. So you're not actually underserving them, because if they're going to pay, you know, $35 for seafood pasta, you don't want to give them $29 worth of that. So attitude matters.
Yes, I get it from, like, a food prep standpoint of, like, why you would do it that way, but he's wrapping lasagnas up in plastic wrap and putting them in a freezer, and then they come out like little bricks.
Yeah, I simply have to assume that he is not doing it that way. Also, I don't have to assume. I know for a fact because he told us.
Yeah. Daryl likes to expedite the food, but he delays, like, the food runners, and then food is left sitting on the pass for, like, too long. And it's getting cold, and then it gets sent back. And this is like...
No, the... Courtney, the shot that they gave us of the window filled with, like, literally 15 dishes.
Yeah.
That was like, oh, that's that rate, that spiked my blood pressure, man. Oh, that got me heated.
Yeah, and Gordon's sitting there like, can we send some food? Like, there's no room
send
on the pass anymore.
Out.
Like, why are we,
like,
holding
I know,
it?
Like, I know, like, because... Daryl was saying it's because we're waiting for one table to be complete. But at the, you know, at a certain point.
At a certain
just
point.
Run it,
yeah,
out, man.
You just gotta get just... dishes out. Like.
And he was saying that as if it wasn't, like, his fault. As if the reason why the kitchen was putting out only a few dishes at a time was because like Daryl was saying to, because that's what happened. Daryl was telling them. Daryl was just shouting any dish out, and so that's what they made.
Yeah. He wasn't giving them full tickets to make for some reason. He was giving them partial tickets, it sounded like.
Which is so stupid. It's more effort to do that than to not do that. Yeah. And I was also getting the vibe here that, like, if he were not there and the kitchen was left to their own devices, Emil or someone would step up and, you know, do it correctly.
Yeah.
But what is so annoying is that you could tell they knew how to do it right, but they couldn't do it right. Because then Daryl would yell at them and say, do it my wrong way. And then it would go to shit. It's very frustrating to watch.
Well, and then Gordon sees the lasagna and he's like, when was the lasagna made? And they're like, last Thursday. And he's like, what's today? And they're like, Thursday. And then Daryl's like, well, it's okay. It was frozen. Like, it's okay for it to be served. But this is like the thing. The lasagna is the special of the night. You don't want your special for the day to be frozen lasagna. You want it to be special.
And just, you know that that lasagna is $25.
Oh, yeah. They overcharge you for a shitty piece of lasagna.
Well, so I have purchased Gordon Ramsay's frozen lasagna, that meal from Walmart, for $6.40.
Yeah.
That's why it's bad.
Do you know, like, my favorite lasagna? Not my favorite lasagna, but, like, a good lasagna. Like, a Stouffer's lasagna, $4 in the frozen section. Still a pretty good lasagna, you know?
Yeah, but, like, you know, I didn't pay for it to be hot. I didn't pay for the care that's supposed to go into what's going to be $25. So it's a fucking tragedy. It's, like, it's unacceptable.
Well, and then Gordon goes out to Ellen, and he's like, hey, what's the special tonight? And she's like, lasagna. And he's like, if I told you that the special tonight was lasagna, would you expect it to be made today? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, your lasagna was made a week ago. And she's like, well, that's okay. And it's like, Ellen!
So she duped me here, because I was all ready to be like, I was ready to toss Daryl to the Crocs, right? I was ready to toss him out to the alligators. Because I was like, how? I can't believe that he has found a way to, like, pull the wool over Ellen's eyes. And then I was going to get frustrated with Ellen for being so, like, deliberately obtuse. But then I was like, oh, no, she fucking knew. She probably, like, lied on camera briefly. And then Gordon was like, gotcha. And she was like, oh, well, actually, gotcha to you, because it's actually fine. Because she... I was the roller coaster of emotions. I was ready to fight for her. I was ready to go to bat for Ellen. And then I was like, oh, nope, you're actually... Nope. It's actually worse.
She's Madame Medusa.
She's Madame fucking Medusa.
So then Gordon is like, well, then customers will definitely think that this is okay. And Ellen's like, okay, yeah, sure, they will. And Gordon's like, well, I'm going to tell them. She's like, oh, do you want me to come with you? And he's like, no, I'm going to stand up and shout. And she's like, oh, okay.
She did the white lady equivalent of, like, interesting reaction.
Yeah. And then Gordon stands up on a dining room chair and, like, ting, ting, tings. And he's like, customers, if I told you that you were going to order lasagna, would you expect it to be fresh? And they all simultaneously go, yes. And then he's like, would you be happy to know that your lasagna was made a week ago? And they were like, oh, gross. Like, full over the top.
I have to tell you, I was howling with laughter.
It kind of makes me...
This is when I was like... This is the acting... You can tell everyone here, this is their acting gig of the century.
Well, it kind of makes me miss the nostalgia of, like, 2011 reality TV, where they were just... Everyone was just like, I'm gonna be on TV, and I'm gonna be famous, so I gotta give it all I got.
I was howling with laughter.
It's so good.
The way... There was a collective gasp when they heard that their lasagna was made a week ago.
Yeah, and then people start getting up and leaving and, like, asking for their checks and, like, returning the lasagnas. And this one lady's leaving and Ellen's like, oh, you finished your meal already? And she's like, yeah, I had the lasagna.
Or when he was like, raise your hand if you ordered the lasagna. And, like, literally two people raised their hands.
Yeah.
Like, no one...
Cause why?
No one did.
Because first of all, here's another beef I have. Why are you making lasagna at the seafood like Louisiana New Orleans restaurant?
I don't fucking know, man.
It's not an Italian restaurant. That's what Daryl. Stop it.
That's why no one fucking ordered it.
Yeah.
That's why only two people raised their hands. But it was a gasp heard. It was the lasagna heard around the world. It was top news. Shook the nation.
Yeah, that was the lasagna that stopped the presses.
Oh my god, I was howling with laughter.
So after dinner service, Gordon speaks to the owners again, and they are as defensive as ever, insisting that their way of doing it is fine, and that microwaved frozen food is fine. Gordon calls a staff meeting the next morning, and the owners are not there. And Gordon's like, I want you to be honest with me. Give me, lay it all bare for me. And all of them say that they're overworked and underpaid. They're not respected. They don't even get staff meals, which I think is, like, unheard of, I feel like. Right?
Yeah, it's, like, it's the least you can do.
Right. Like, just, like, isn't that a thing? I've never worked in a restaurant, but I know it's a thing where you come in for, like, dinner service and they're like, oh, there's food in the corner if you want some. You know?
Yeah, it's, so there are some places where, like, technically a shift meal is, like, you can order free food. Like, you can punch in an order for free and it will be comped. Then there's, like, the unofficial, like, family meal where the cooks are like, we had time, we made shit. Which is nice. It's not, like, required. But I think they were saying, like, we should get a, you know, sanctioned one. Like, we should be able to type in our order and it should be comped.
Yeah, like, Candace is like, I should be able to eat a po' boy for lunch if I want a po' boy, you know? Like,
yeah, my current restaurant that I work at, it's not, like, a shift meal, but we get 60% off. And we also get other perks. We also, like, get breaks that are 2 hours, and there are other, you know, there's other things where it comes back around, but they get fucking nothing here.
Yeah. They don't
to have worked
anything.
Somewhere like this for 10 plus years and to get zero benefits, to never get a pay raise is something they say is like bananas.
Well, they're also like not allowed breaks. They're not allowed to sit down. Like there's a shot of like Candace doing like the silverware roll-ups. And Ellen's like, no sitting. And that was maybe editing, but it just seems like, let them sit down, my guy. Like,
yeah, so it is illegal. It's illegal. It is. No breaks is illegal.
Oh, yeah, that's super illegal. But they're all saying that they're not allowed to, like, do anything lest they be fired because Ellen and Daryl like have let go a lot of their staff already to save money, which is why their leftover staff is overworked.
Yeah, it was when I think Emil said that he got hours tacked on. He was working what, 50 or 60 hours,
yeah,
something like that, for $400 a week, less than $10 an hour. No, is unheard of.
No, not for a chef.
Maybe a line cook, but in this day and age, absolutely not.
But if he's the kitchen manager, like, come on, like, he should be making a little bit more.
Yeah, to be the fucking kitchen manager, to be the head chef and make less than $10 an hour is abuse.
Yeah, that's, like, so, honestly, and also so demeaning. Like,
unbelievably demeaning.
Like, that's what, and they wonder why, like, the food isn't good, too. It's like, your staff doesn't also care. Like, because you don't care. Daryl.
Also, they're fucking tired.
And they're tired. Their passion
is
gone.
They're tired and they miss their family.
They're burnt out.
Yeah.
So then Gordon tells them that the owners are going to come in and he wants them to say all of this to the owners. And they're all like, fuck no. Like, none of them want to do it. But then
that hurt my soul. That was tough.
But then Daryl and Ellen come in and Jason, the other like head chef, tells them that they care more about money than the food and the customers. They don't respect their staff, and none of them are getting paid enough. A couple of the other, like, bartenders and, like, barbacks and stuff, I don't know what role they had, but there were a couple other guys who were like, yeah, I've been working here for, like, years, never got a pay raise. what the fuck up, what's up with that? Like, and then Ellen's like,
yeah, there was, yeah, that one guy who was like 10 years. I'm like, my God. And this is where I think I texted you and I was like, ooh, this is triggering me.
Yeah.
This is what I touched on earlier where like they said out loud, like anyone else would say, find a different job, but they stay because of the people. They stayed for each other.
Yeah.
Because it's like we're in the trenches together, and that is, you know, a very powerful motivator. But they were saying, like, it's getting to the point where that's not worth it anymore. And anyone that has worked in, like, a food service around the holidays or a, like, retail on Black Friday kind of situation understands just how deep, just, like, how deep that blood runs, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why this hits so hard. and oh my God, the owners didn't care at all, but like continue.
No, because then Ellen fires back and she's like, all right, Kate, okay, let's be real then. We've had to pull thousands of dollars from our own funds to pay you guys every week. And then they're like, well, then close down the fucking restaurant. And then Daryl's like, but we don't want to because we believe in the restaurant. And then,
oh my,
and then Daryl is like, and then Daryl's like, if you don't want to be here, don't be here. And they're all like, we're only here because we like each other, not because we like you. Like,
yeah. No, the way the hair on the back of my neck stood up when, like, they had a shot, the guy who had been there for 10 years just gave this, like, beautiful heartfelt thing, and Emil had just done this, like, you know, it's getting harder to justify staying. And Ellen was like, okay, well, can I just say something really quick? Can I just really quick interrupt? And I, like, bristle.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, well, if we're all talking about the truth... And I was, like, ready to throw something. I was like, you never want to hear a white lady say that, because only white nonsense is going to be coming out.
Well, and then one of the chefs, I think it was Jason or Emil, is like, but you can still take 5 vacations a year.
Yep, and I was like, oh, yeah, here we go.
And then Daryl and Ellen are like, and they're still defensive. And Gordon's like, okay, we've aired out some grievances. We have to move on with the next part of the episode.
We gotta, clock is ticking, babes.
So Gordon decides to show Daryl and Ellen that their chefs can do this without them. And so he takes the boys to the grocery store to buy groceries. And he's like, make any meal that you want to make for Daryl and Ellen to try. And then Gordon's like, I'm going to make a chicken fried steak. So, stop with the ad. That Gordon takes the 3 dishes. It's like 2 seafood dishes and then the chicken fried steak. He takes the 3 dishes to Ellen and Daryl and is like, I made you 3 dishes for the new menu. We're going to put them on the menu as specials tonight. See how they do. What do you think? And they try them and they're like, oh my God, this is delicious. It's the best food we've ever had. And then Gordon's like,
this is phenomenal. It's phenomenal.
And then Gordon's like, psych, got you. You fucking losers. It's the chefs you already have. And Daryl's like, oh, I guess I was like hindering them because like it's their art and I wasn't letting them do their art. He literally says something
maybe it was the editing, but it took Daryl a little too long to look the chefs in the eyes and tell them thank you and sorry. Like he was saying it to sort of just like the cameras and to Gordon for a little bit. And I was like, no, you look them in the face. You look them in their 4 eyeballs and you tell them that you're sorry.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like Daryl's very good at letting go of his ego.
Yeah, no, he was a little slow to the draw. And I'll never forget.
So overnight, Gordon's team renovates the restaurant. The swamp is gone and it looks like a nice, regular restaurant. So... we now have.
I didn't even care. I was too mad about other stuff. I was like texting you, I think, at this part.
Yeah. Honestly, from here on out, it's like fine. They introduce the new menu, which includes like seafood boils, which are supposed to help take pressure off the kitchen because it's like just a bucket of boiled seafood that's ready to go. I guess I don't really know how it works.
Yeah.
It's like Joe's Crab Shack, right? Like.
Yeah, just like seafood boils are a big thing in the South. They're easy.
I don't go to the
and
South.
The beautiful the thing that's good about seafood, like really good fresh seafood, is that like it doesn't even need that much seasoning if it is good and fresh, which is why the frozen is so bad.
Well, because I think that, I feel like the only thing they really put on there is, like, the Old Bay seasoning and butter. Like,
Old Bay seasoning is the best seasoning ever to be made, and you can fucking quote me on that.
Oh, I use it a lot. I use it to make, so I was telling Caitlin about this. I used to make these vegan crab cakes because I can't have real crab cakes, but you use artichoke hearts instead of, like, crab meat. And when you use the Old Bay seasoning,
oh, that sounds good.
It tastes like what I assume a crab cake tastes like, which is delicious. So,
yeah. Have I told you about my dad's seafood slop? That's what I call it.
Yes, the gray mush that tastes delicious.
The gray mush that looks like a nightmare. I don't know what makes it gray, other than, like, he just uses a lot of beige seafood. Like, there's not shrimp in it, so, like,
yeah,
it's, you don't see, like, the pink color. But and the Old Bay seasoning, I guess, like, mutes it a little bit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, when it's high quality seafood on its own, doesn't need a lot, but yeah, Old Bay seasoning makes everything good, including gray slop.
Yeah. So Gordon updates the menu with classic New Orleans deals. Meals, not deals. Oh my god, I can't speak.
Classic New Orleans deals.
I'm so tired. Tomorrow's my first day off in like 3 weeks, and I'm very excited.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And we're doing fresh shellfish and fresh alligator, baby. I've had alligator. Hey. It's pretty good.
I imagine it's, like, chickeny, you know? Yeah. It's tough on the outside, but...
It's, like, yeah, it's, like, tougher chicken. You really only can get it deep fried. I don't know if they prepare alligator, like, other ways.
Yeah, I can't imagine that they do.
I feel like it's like, too hard of a meat to cook when it's not deep fried. But either way, it tastes good. It tastes like chicken, honestly.
Gonna,
it's a white meat.
While you talk, I'm gonna Google it while you finish up.
I am sure there are other ways to eat alligator. I'm just not familiar, nor have I seen them on menus in Florida. So,
how to prepare
alligator. How to prepare man.
It says to grind it, season it, and make it into small balls.
Alligator meatballs. There you go.
This looks fried. How to cook alligator meat. I think you can, like, bake it.
You probably can. I'm sure you can treat it like fish or like chicken.
How to procure alligator meat is the first part of the article.
But it's like frog legs. Like, frog legs you can do other ways, but it tastes best deep fried because it tastes like chicken. Like,
yeah, it's to mask the horrifying shape of it.
So then the relaunch happens and the restaurant's packed, and in a bid to lighten pressure on the kitchen, they promote the seafood boil. Customers like the seafood boil. They start ordering it. But the regular orders are coming out too fast. Daryl is like, I need this. I need this. I need this. I need this. I need that. Like, over and over and over. And Jason and Emil are like, fuck it. You want it? Here you go. And they send out, like...
Yeah.
They send out slop. They send out, like, unfinished dishes with no garnishes. The dishes aren't cooked all the way. And then Gordon's out in the dining room, like, looking at the food. And he's like, is your fish raw? And this guy is like, no. And Gordon's like, your fish is raw. I'm gonna take it back.
Yeah, it was a shame to watch. It really was.
So Gordon's upset, shuts the kitchen down to get Daryl to slow down and focus on sending out quality food. And then they talk to a news team at the end for some reason to promote the restaurant. And then the restaurant's a success, I guess. Ta-da. And that Gordon tells that Daryl and Ellen that they have potential, but they just need to listen to their staff a little more and be better people in general.
You're never gonna guess what recipe I'm looking at right now.
Is it gator?
Yeah.
Is it gator cortello?
No, it's better.
What is it?
It's gator piccata.
No, Alana. You have to make it. You have to try it.
It has a different name, but that's what it is. Tenderized alligator scallopini served with lemon caper sauce.
Oh no.
It really, it's absolutely alligator piccata.
David Murphy, if you're listening.
Oh my god, it's alligator piccata.
This one's for you.
I'm gonna text him right now. Podcasters, you don't know who David Murphy is, but he's our friend. He's obsessed with chicken piccata.
And Alana's TikTok.
He's gonna lose his mind.
Well, I'm glad to know there's more than one way to prepare a gator. So, for the next time I hunt and kill a gator and prepare it myself, I'll be more ready.
Apparently, if you don't want to fry your alligator, it grills nice, too. I have to imagine for an alligator piccata, you saute it. You have to pound it with a mallet to tenderize like you did shrimp. I'm beside myself.
That's so weird. Did you ever watch Swamp People?
I most certainly did not.
My dad was obsessed with that show when I was in high school. But it's about them. It's not gators. It's crocodiles. But same vibe. But it's just them. It's just them hunting crocodiles. I don't know. It's a weird show. But it's in Louisiana. So.
Well, is that where Duck Dynasty was?
That was Zeke's. That was the end of the episode. Any final thoughts before we figure out what happened next?
I'm sorry, I asked a question and I'm going to need you to answer it.
Oh, what'd you say? Sorry.
Is Louisiana also where Duck Dynasty was?
I don't think so. I think they were in, like, Mississippi or Alabama. I could be very wrong. Add it to your Google search history. You're already on a deep dive with a million other things.
Oh my god, I'm still looking at this, like, really excellent looking delicious picture of the alligator piccata.
I bet you could find some alligator meat.
I bet.
Put that on your YouTube channel.
Do they have it at, like, fucking, like, Whole Foods? I don't know.
No, you usually have to go to, like, a specialty butcher for that kind of stuff.
It's just, like, at Trader Joe's.
There were places in Oregon you could get it. So
they make it in-house at Trader Joe's.
Yeah, with their alligator bond in the back.
they farm their own alligator.
Oh my god. they just want that organic gator flavor.
That organic gator.
Well, do you want to know what the heck happened at Zeke's next?
Yeah, I desperately do.
So, following the episode, customer numbers were up and morale was improved. Yelp reviews were mostly positive after Gordon visited, compliments to the food and service. The average comments critique the portion sizes and suggest service could be hit and miss. They hired a new executive chef, Michelle Matlock, who had plenty of experience and some vegan specials for the menu.
Oh, shit.
Zeke's
vegan alligator.
Oh, no. Zeke's closed in October of 2012 and was sold to new owners. A sign stating the closure was taped to the door of the restaurant. It appears that they may have closed as Ellen was diagnosed with cancer.
Oh, shit.
But they opened a new restaurant called Luca Eats in New Orleans in 2016, and reviews are excellent, so she's doing well, I guess. Porter and Luke's opened in the...
I wonder if their staff came with them.
Maybe. I don't know. Look, yeah. Do you wanna Google Luca Eats in New Orleans?
I do. I absolutely want to do that.
Restaurant called...
Like the film?
Yeah. A restaurant called Porter and Luke's opened in the former Zeke's in January 2013. And I think it's still there today. This episode aired on May 13th, 2011 and was filmed in January 2011. So they were open for like a year after Gordon visited.
Yeah. Luca Eats is absolutely still open.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad they're doing well then.
Catering available daily. Call Ellen.
Ah! Uh-huh.
Luca Eats.
Look at Ellen.
Our story.
I hope
Ellen, when we first opened our doors in 2016, Ellen had made a full recovery from cancer.
Look at her go. I hope it made you a better person.
When Ellen completed chemotherapy and an eventual full recovery, we knew that going back to work meant that this time we needed to make it personal and appreciative of every moment. Hence our motto, put on your positive pants.
No, I'm good, actually, thanks.
Our small menu sticks to the food that we're best at and that our customers will love. Proud to serve our neighborhood in the greater New Orleans area. Oh, they do have an itty bitty little menu. Let's look at that menu.
I wonder if it's mostly a bar.
It's sandwiches.
Oh, cute.
Yeah. Breakfast sandwiches. Oh, it's not that little. Never mind. Shrimp and grits sandwich. Oh, these prices are amazing. spinach and artichoke croissant, chorizo and egg, apples and brie, ooh, egg white press.
Fancy.
Soup, they got gumbo, soup du jour. They got salads. Their lunch sandwiches look good. Cubano, muffaletta, steak, fancy grilled cheeses, Carolina BBQ.
Welcome to Alana Reads a Menu.
I wish it had a little more, like, Louisiana special.
Yeah.
It just looks like a pretty run-of-the-mill, like, bistro type.
Well, if we have any listeners...
But, hey, sandwiches are hard...
If we have any listeners and...
Sandwiches are hard to fuck up, so... Sorry, let me fight. Let me compete with your...
You go ahead. You go time. First. You go first.
I forgot.
Well, if you are a listener of this podcast and you live in New Orleans and you know of this place, let me know how it is. And ask Ellen how she's doing.
Oh my god, I said it two different times and I had finally the space to say it and I forgot.
Sandwiches aren't that hard to fuck up is what you were trying to say.
Oh my god. Ooh, they have a shaken lavender drink. I have to assume that that's coffee. But it just says shaken lavender.
I had a matcha latte with lavender syrup and it tasted like Fruit Loops.
I fucking love a fancy matcha latte. I live for that shit.
I do love a matcha latte. Yummy, 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 yummy. Well.
Yummy, 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 yummy. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I can't speak anymore. I'm my brain is somehow shutting down for, I don't know why.
What? On the press page, it says the Oreo beignets served at Luca Eats in New Orleans. The recipe is simple, but my God, the results. Well, I didn't see that.
I want that.
I didn't see any beignets.
What an Oreo
beignet.
That
was the New Orleans special I was fucking looking for. Oh, they're literally right here. If I had scrolled one tiny, itty-bitty bit more, I would have seen it.
I bet it tastes like a deep-fried Oreo, but, like, not as heavy.
Yeah, Oreo beignets, white chocolate bread pudding, ooh, chocolate espresso beans...
I'm hungry again.
Circled back around.
Should we go to New Orleans?
Well, I'm glad they're still kicking.
Yeah, glad they're doing okay. I hope Jason and Emil are doing okay. I hope they're off being chefs wherever they're happiest. And yeah, I want to go back to New Orleans. I've only been like once.
It is 4.6 stars.
Nice. Good for them.
It's like doing really good. I know, right? What a turnaround.
I love a happy ending. Most of these older episodes don't have
story.
Happy endings.
Yeah, after a real rough start.
Yeah. But you know, sometimes you just need a giant life thing to happen to make you turn it all around.
Sometimes you just need a little cancer.
No, don't say that. Alana... Oh my god, we're awful.
Oh my god. Well, I'll see you everyone in hell.
Yeah, me and Alana are taking a trip to hell, so we'll be back next week. Speaking of next week, so we have to talk about this offline, but we'll talk about it now too. There is the secret, unofficial, not talked about episode of Kitchen Nightmares that was like famously taken off the air because Gordon got sued by the owners of Oceania in New Orleans. I am going to try my best to try and like find the episode because I think I can find it on Reddit. I have found it before. But if we're able to watch it, I think we're unknown enough now that we can talk about it, but someday it might have to go behind a paywall. Because I don't want to be sued.
I mean, I'm sure people have talked about it before.
I'm sure. It's very infamous in, like, the Gordon Ramsay canon of his life, so.
Well, so it will probably depend on if that particular restaurant is still, like, open now. Because if it's not, then who cares?
I think it is.
What's it called?
Oceania.
Restaurant?
In New Orleans. It's like literally on Bourbon Street.
Oh, I spelled it wildly wrong, that's why. Ooh, it is absolutely still open.
I told you, it's a huge thing. So we'll talk about it and come back next week to hear more about the history of this infamous time in Gordon Ramsay's life.
For whatever we decide.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to do some research, but we'll get back to you. Anyways, thanks for listening to another episode of Ramsay's Recaps. I'm Courtney, and I don't know why I said my name again, but you can follow me at Courtney Sile, and you can follow the podcast at Ramsay's Recaps. I should have done that the other way, but whatever.
It's whatever. And I'm Alana. I am everywhere on the internet at Alana Finewoman. Also, you'll see me in hell later, apparently.
Also, you go watch Alana on Twitch.
I'm theoretically going live in an hour or so, which if you're listening to this
is 2 days ago
it comes out, I've already done it and you can't and you missed it and sorry. But you know, maybe
try again later. So yeah, have a great night, day, everything. I don't know, whenever you're listening
have
to this.
Have a great summer.
We love you. Bye.
Have a great summer.
Hags.
I had to say it twice because you didn't hear it the first time.